this is like the most controversial thing I could like ever say for those who are in the know, I guess, but I kind of think Nikon is cool. I'm switching to Nikon.
Disturbing in the peace for some peace of mind. Sleeping in jeans, I'ma need a knife. OD on the cheap advice. OC on the cheapest flight. Lately I've been on the move trying to get to something. But I told her I've been running just to see the sights.
I don't know that I've done a well enough job in the past of properly introducing my co-host, because not many people realize that we're currently in the presence of published artist Schaefer Nickel. You may have read about him in the Gunnison Times. Ladies and gentlemen, Schaefer Nickel.
Yay.
I got it. How's it feel to be published in a newspaper, man?
It feels great. To be honest, the Gunnison Times is definitely the highest honor I've received. And I say that and it sounds sarcastic, but it really isn't. Like, being recognized by your community as like a community member of value is huge. Like, it goes way beyond a sort of recognition for like artwork in general, because instead of just being like, oh, his art is good, instead it's like, oh, his art is good and he's a good guy, you know? So
yeah, totally. You're like a staple of the community now. And
yeah,
I just read the article not too long ago. And it's a great article. Like, I definitely don't say it sarcastically either, because that is, I don't know. It's so cool how much, I don't know, just how much, like you said, how much bigger of a deal that is than any, like, any quantity metric. Like, just having something close to your heart that, you know, cares about you and writes such a great article about you, that's super special. And they did a good job with the article.
I know. Shout out to Alex McCrindle for writing such a nice thing about me. But, yeah, it was just definitely cool, because especially to be recognized as, like, a YouTuber in a small town as a positive thing is kind of a stunt. That's, like, not an easy thing to do. So I'm pretty proud of it.
Kidding.
Should I grab it? I have it right over here.
Oh, yeah, you should. Yeah, I was just looking in the article again, because there's some strong highlights in there, but now I don't remember them.
Here it is. The finest accomplishment of my whole life. Videographer creates short films about life on the Western Slope. So
that's so cool. I love the way they highlighted how... I don't know, essentially how you don't focus on the glamour of Crested Butte. You don't focus on the glamour of the ski resort, or any of those things. I like how they captured how you capture even the mundane, like, great parts of living in Gunnison. And that they said something about you playing Settlers of Catan with everyone's townie bikes in the front yard. And I was like, oh man, what a great descriptor of Schaefer's life right there.
Yeah. I mean, again, just like truly, like, it means more to me, like, than any other thing that's ever happened to me. 'Cause yeah, it's home. And like, yeah, to know that, like, I feel like this is home and other people are like, I don't know, like, okay with me being at home here. And yeah, like you said, there are plenty of people that will glamorize mountain living, just based on like the touristy bullet pointed checklists of things you can do while you're here. But for me, it's like so much more than that. And I think Alex did a really good job. Yeah, I don't know. He just did a good job. So anyway.
Yeah, dude. Well, congrats. That was honestly, like, man, highlight of the week was reading that. It was cool. So congrats.
Oh, it was my highlight for sure. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
I have a really quick thing.
Okay.
Mega, mega, mega quick space news is they found 3 new moons orbiting Uranus.
No way.
Yeah, they haven't found any new ones since 2003, so.
Whoa.
Pretty sick.
Uranus. Dang, that is cool. Wow. Well, I can drop
they
in
think
my
they're,
super...
They think they're basically moon shards of bigger moons or something.
Whoa.
I don't know. I don't know a lot about it. I just saw there's three new ones. Okay, that's all. That's all.
Dang. Moon Shards would be a sick fantasy metal band name.
That would be sick.
Well, I'll drop in my super fast space news too, because last week was space news extravaganza, we're not going to dwell on it. But real quick, U.S. landed on the moon, and we had a great time poking fun at Japan landing upside down. And then the U.S. landed sideways, and we unfortunately can't even recover it. So we've got a lander up there sideways, and they're just counting down the days till it runs out of battery and dies on the south pole of the moon.
They should have Japan go push it over.
I know.
Please,
I know,
Japan.
It's tragic.
Dang.
So we're up there sideways on the moon, and Jeff Koons' art is also on the moon. So
man, well, if the moon isn't just becoming an absolute wasteland at this point, just dumping ground for all our failed science experiments and terrible art.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I didn't realize, okay, last thing, I swear, I didn't realize there was like a race to get art on the moon. There was another guy from Dubai trying to get art on the moon, but the rocket that his art was on blew up and burnt to a crisp, so...
So okay, well,
so end of space news.
All right, we can't do space news again. Editing it last week, I was like, wow, we know very little about what we're talking about here.
Yeah, the last couple weeks were a little rough.
Yeah,
to say the least.
Yeah,
but I don't know about you. I'm feeling way more rejuvenated these days. But, dude, how about we talk about Evil Schaefer?
Oh,
since
boy.
We were just talking about Gunnison Times. I feel like you got... or do you not want to talk about it?
No, I'm fine to talk about it. It's just... I don't even know if it was a good idea.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Like... Yeah, I made a second
for.
I didn't make a second channel. Someone is impersonating me, and made a second channel of me. That's what it is. And basically, I made a second channel because I thought it would be fun to have a place to post like mega low effort videos, especially more like, I guess, constructively critical or negative low effort videos just for fun. And so I posted one this week, and first off, like, the video is doing like pretty well, especially, you know, considering it's a new channel and everything. But I guess I'm just kind of like, do I really need to just spew more nonsense into the world than I already am? And like, I don't know, it's funny because like the video's doing well. I could see where the channel could grow really easily, because there's kind of a hunger for people to be not like overly super hyper positive about everything on the internet. It's just like, yeah, it seems like there's definitely a space for criticism right now. There's like a hunger for contrarian opinions about things, which is, I don't know, very apparent in just like my experience uploading one video about being critical of the X100V hype. Anyway, all that to say, I just don't even think it's like worth the time. Cause I was like, what do I want to get out of this? Do I want to like, there's not really like much I really want to get out of it. Cause if the channel grows and gets bigger than my current channel, which I think could happen, because you could upload like one of those videos every week and it would be super easy, then I'm like, am I going to be happy about that? And I'm like, not really. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's certainly the ideal. It's the ideal YouTube format for sure. To have a far lower effort, bar to entry for your videos. And to, essentially talk about not controversial is not the right word, but just to talk critically about things is just such a like a classic YouTube genre, you mm-hmm. know, that's kind of like what it's what it's centered around. So yeah, it makes sense that that channel would do well. But have you thought in the past about making a second channel for any other reason? Because I've always been super intrigued by like the second channel mentality, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, like yeah. Do you feel like you have this newfound sense of freedom to put like any garbage on your second channel, or is that not really your views of it?
Well, I've been figuring out a way to put garbage on my main channel over the last couple months, which is I put a secret video in the description of my main video. So I feel like that I feel like that itch has already been scratched for me. Like it, and also like it does feel it's fun, but also like it's kind of like junk food in a way. Like the secret vlog thing or the secret video in the description is fun because it goes alongside a main upload. But like if you put like a month or 2 months into a video and you upload it and it does like kind of good, it feels a lot better than putting a little bit of effort into a video that does really good. You know what I mean? Mm. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's weird because like it is fun. It is fun for sure, but it's not like fulfilling. And I'm kind of looking for like being fulfilled creatively. I'm not really looking to like have like junk food fun, you know? Mm. So I don't know. Like my idea right now is to upload the secret vlogs instead to the second channel for a couple reasons. One, because I actually do think the secret vlogs are hurting my analytics on my main channel because with every video that does well, I have a video that like, you know, gets 500 views. And so my average view count is like really weird. The graph is weird. So I don't know. Like it's just kind of an ongoing experiment, but it's not like changing me or like opening my mind. Like you always hear about people starting second channels and like, I'm free now. But yeah, that's not been my experience.
Yeah. That was kind of my suspicion for myself. And since you and I's brain works similar in a lot of ways, that's good to hear. Cause yeah, I've always wondered if it would free me up to just make low effort stuff. But for me, I'm sure if I made a second channel, I would inevitably just also build it up in my head and keep raising my own personal bar on that thing.
Yeah.
But man, your secret vlog thing is such a brilliant,
such I think a that'll brilliant, be a good thing to use it for.
Yeah. Like, avenue for that. You cut out for a big chunk there, so I didn't
oh that's okay that's fine but. I wasn't really saying anything to be honest but yeah, like, oh, what was I gonna say about the second channel thing? Oh, it when for you and me it's not the same thing, because you and me our main channel viewership is kind of at least to some extent, it's dictated by the quality of the videos. Like people expect a certain level of quality when they watch our videos. So when you have a second channel that's basically low quality videos, you kind of take out one of the biggest things that makes you an interesting channel, or at least that's how I see it for myself. And then it also dilutes the brand of the main channel in my head, where it's like, you know, here's a person. You know, for me, it's like if I'm like looking at my own channel, I'm like, here's someone that takes a lot of time and only puts out something if it's going to be really good. And then for that same person to just put out a bunch of junk food content kind of dilutes my brand a little bit, I think. Or that's how it feels, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting. Yeah. That's an interesting point of view on it. And I certainly don't know either, and I will probably still just endlessly wonder what it would be like and never actually make one, but
I don't think it's all it's cracked up to be so far. I mean, because again, I'm like, okay, let's say this works as well as it possibly could and the channel blows up. I'm just going to be like, well, this is not what I put 14 years into. Like,
yeah. Know? Yeah, man, that's a great point. It's not exactly taking you in the end goal direction.
It's not what I want to be known for, you know? But the thing that's scary is the way the algorithm works is it's more likely to be the thing you're known for than the thing you put all the love and the work into. Hmm. But it was a little bit like just getting, like, literally having an idea and being like, oh, I think that would do good. And I know what thumbnail and title would do good for that. And then just doing it and being right. It kind of validated me and being like, okay, it's not all me, you know? Like, there is, like, a formulaic way to make this website work for you. And it's a bummer, but it's also like, okay, well, at least I know that, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's the other part of it that's super interesting, too, is you don't really recognize just how much you're learning about YouTube by posting to YouTube consistently. And you think it's so much about, like, your craft and the content of the videos you make and how you make them, but you don't realize how good you're getting just, like, at YouTube. So that is really interesting too, starting a second channel to give YouTube this, like, fresh slate where the algorithm doesn't assume what the audience is or anything, but you're starting it fresh as someone who, like, way better understands YouTube than you did when you started your first channel. Like, that's got to be a fun experiment on its own too. Like you said, obviously it's not why we're doing it, but it's still a fun experiment. And I'm sure still rewarding to.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like, well, even this video, is definitely getting some pushback for sure. Like, I think the like to dislike ratio is like 88% or something. So there's definitely dislikes in there. There's definitely people in the comments who are like not agreeing, but I don't feel like I'm all that. My van life video prepared me for that. Like, when it comes to the pushback and everything, it doesn't really affect me that much.
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, if anything, that's just how you know you're like, you're talking about I don't want to say important topic, but you're talking about something that requires some critical thinking.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
It's certainly not a bad sign to get dislikes. Like, I think we've talked about it in the past. Oh yeah. We talked about it with Nathaniel Drew, but sometimes, like, if you're not getting any dislikes, it's like, am I doing anything? You know, do I have anything to say if I'm not getting a single dislike? But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. There was one guy that left a comment who was like, why are you wearing a winter girl's hat inside? It's just like, I was like, oh my God, I just got owned.
Wow. Yeah.
And the dude's profile photo was like, he looked like he was like 70 years old. And I was like, whoa, this is weird.
I was going to say, that sounds like a 70-year-old comment being worried.
Super, super funny.
Worried
so,
about a hat. Wow. Well,
yeah, like it. Yeah, I don't think it. I don't think that format is like takes all that much of a toll on me when it comes to people being like, you know, like disagreeing or whatever. Because I think it's fun to have a conversation. Like, I think it's fun that it's conversational. But I think more the point is just that it's not really like. It's like unless your whole thing is going to be the guy that has conversations about polarizing things, then it's just not really worth the time. So I don't know.
Yeah. Speaking of that, how often do you just like abandon projects that you're working on? Cause kind of similar to having this, like, I don't know, the second channel lower effort thing. I also was thinking about just this like graveyard of videos I have that I have started and put quite a bit of time and effort into, and then they just never see the light of the day.
Yeah.
Does that happen to you often?
More often than an upload happens, that's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. My DaVinci Resolve new project thing, when you like first open it, is like, yeah, there's like, it'll be a full panel of however many they give you, like 10 previously open projects, and there will be like 10 of them, and then one that actually will wind up on YouTube. I'll just start so many things and just be like, this is not that good of an idea.
Yeah. That's good to hear, because, man, that is, I don't know if you get discouraged by that, but I get so discouraged when I start dumping a lot of time, and especially because you start really excited about the idea, and sometimes you just hit a wall and it does not work. You try 20 different iterations of how to make it flow, and it's just like, this isn't working. So I'd be really curious to, it'd be sick if there was just like a graveyard option where you could just see people's graveyard projects, because obviously you would never publish those, but I would still love to see what type of graveyard ideas you have
that yeah
didn't make it.
Yeah, you know? I just gave up on one, actually. I like, since my anger video, I was working on one that was just about, like, I was like, I'm gonna make a video that's just about light, that's it, it's just about light. And so I got a little ways in it, and then it basically was just like, man, crazy the way light is. And that was, I was like, this is gonna be the whole video.
Oh man.
So I bailed.
Yeah, I just recently, I don't want to say I put it in the graveyard, I think I put it in like purgatory. It's in the holding cell, you know, like, A, because I was getting really frustrated with it and I could not find the direction, and also because I have a sponsored video deadline quickly approaching. And so that was like stressing me out to finish the previous video, which this is the video I filmed with you and Gunnison. So it's like, I'm really excited about it, but I'm having a really hard time figuring out the direction what I actually want to say with the video. So yeah. Then I started telling myself, okay, I have to finish it by Monday so I can start working on the next video. And then thankfully I was able to just tell myself, like, okay, don't just finish it because you have to, because you're going to be unhappy with it. And you're sitting on something that I know you can love it if you let it have the time and the space to like form into what it needs. But yeah, I don't know. Sometimes that's just like,
dude, I don't know. I mean, That is true. And then also sometimes the answer is you just have to let it die.
Yeah.
That's like another option, you know? You could just be like, hey, you know what? We did everything we could to make this something I'm passionate about, but it's like you can't like force yourself. I guess you could like discipline yourself to make something passable, but I don't know. It's also an option to just be like, this didn't work.
Yeah. You know? That's true. That's also freeing for sure to feel that and just move on to the next thing. Dude, it also makes me respect documentary filmmaking so much.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's a big part of why I was struggling with this video, is because I interviewed you, I interviewed your friend Carter, but at the time I did those interviews, I didn't really understand what the direction of the video was going to be. So now that I'm editing it, it's like, I would have asked such different questions.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
man, when you're a documentary filmmaker, you don't even know what the story is. You're just like seeing what's going on loosely around a story that you think is there. And God, I think it's a nightmare to dig through footage for one YouTube video when you're trying to make an hour and a half documentary.
Yeah, that is a stunt.
Terrifying.
Yeah, maybe someday we'll be good at this. I figured out branded videos. I figured them out.
Branded videos?
I figured out how to choose which ones to say no to and which ones to say yes to.
Oh, okay. Hit me.
I thought about this. We've been close to this many times in our discussions, but it all just hit me at once when I was like, oh, that's it. Okay. Here's how you decide what to say yes to and what to say no to. Okay. You say yes, or at least for me, this is what I'm running with. You you say yes to the brand that enables you to make art. And so that can come in different ways, right? So the brand could be something that like is directly tied to the creative process, or it could just be something where it's like, we are, instead of like making a sponsored YouTube video, it looks more like they're willing to commission an art piece and have their name be associated with the commissioning of the artwork, right? So I was thinking about just how much sense skateboarding makes, because skateboarding brands, and we've had this conversation in the past, but it just all clicked for me. Skateboarding brands, it doesn't really matter like what brand the skateboarder is on, but the skateboard brand enables the skateboarder to skateboard. That's kind of all it is. And like whatever the graphic is on the bottom of the board is kind of the association. That's like the branding tie that's made, but the skateboarder gets to skateboard, right? But for some reason in like the filmmaking world, filmmaking brands don't enable filmmakers to make films. Filmmaking brands enable filmmakers to make commercials for the filmmaking brand, which feels insincere. Like for the viewer, it's like, oh, I'm just watching another stupid filmmaking brand commercial. And the filmmaker's like, wow, I never get to make films. I'm just making commercials for these brands, you know? And so what's cool about like my past partnership with like MusicBed, for example, is that they're unique in the sense that their product directly enables me to make artwork. So that's like a no-brainer. But I've been going back and forth with a brand about a sponsored video, and basically I'm not going to say or mention anything about the brand. It's just commissioned by the brand. So there's going to be like a thing at the beginning that says, wow, you know, like this video is commissioned by, and that's it. And I'm so excited about it. It makes so much sense to me.
Yeah. That's sick. That's just such a beautifully concise way to make it make sense in your head. And man, if YouTube was a stock market, I would just bet on that being the future, because we've, like you said, we've had the discussion, but the review genre is just so tired, and man, what a powerful shift if brands can just be associated with powerful artwork. I'm hoping and banking on that being the future, particularly for filmmaking YouTube, but that is sick.
Yeah. Like that this video I have, it's very like we only just kind of came to an agreement about it, but it's like there, as far as what I'm getting out of it, it's far lower than what it would be if it was like a full on 30-second integrated ad, but I really don't care, because I'm going to do my best to knock this out of the park, just so that for future brands, I can be like, here's what I will do. Like I will make whatever I want. And then like, you will be associated with it, but that's the extent of, and I just honestly think it's going to be better. I think Yeti Coolers has had this figured out forever. Like, Yeti's YouTube channel has nothing to do with Yeti coolers or Yeti mugs or anything. It has everything to do with stories and people. And it just makes so much more sense for everyone. It's better for the viewer. It's better for the creator. It's better for the brand. And it's so much less gross.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this ties back so well to your second channel and why, like, one of the things that would make that second channel very worth it is to promote change in this industry that we're in. Because one of the things you said in the Evil Schaefer video is that, one of the things Evil Schaefer said in his video was that you have the power as the person being sent the camera. And I think the problem is, like, that's the big problem we're all in, is so many of us don't realize that, because so many of us are on this grind up to like just try and make it, try to find a way into this space and make it work in this space. And so you naturally just feel like this, this peasant just like begging for any opportunity. But man, if everyone realized just how powerless the brands are without you making the video, because that's the big problem, is you do have so much power when a brand comes to you to be like, look, I don't want to read the spec sheet. I want to make a piece of art with this thing, and I would love for your name to be on the piece of art. And if more people, not even everyone, but if more people were on board with that and brands kept hearing that as an answer rather than, sure, I'll read the spec sheet off and post it. Like, if more brands were faced with, I'm not going to do a review, but I'll make a piece of art with it and put your name on it, then sick, that tidal wave's going to start changing just because the brands can grasp it more.
Yeah. And I really honestly think it's better for everyone involved. And not only that, I was thinking about this after the fact, though. I was like, the spec sheet doesn't need to be anywhere but the website. That's the only place it needs to be. You know, like, it really doesn't. I really don't need Peter McKinnon to read me a spec sheet. And I don't think he's really done that sort of thing in a long time. But like, you don't need all these trustworthy creative people to give you the nitty gritty of like, all you want to know is that it has the capability to make beautiful art. And if it can do that, then it's like, okay, I'm sold. And then you can get into all the details of the thing. But yeah, it's it's very interesting. I'm currently working on a video. Hopefully that doesn't get abandoned, because I'm really excited about it. But it's more about like the sound side of filmmaking and some tools I've recently acquired that are going to hopefully have a really cool shift in how the audio works on my channel. And so I got this one specific tool that I don't want to name yet, because I really want to be first in filmmaking world to use it. But
cool,
there are a million billion different like specifications about it that make it really cool. But the examples I was looking up of people using it, I have to be so vague about this, but like, it's used for something completely different. But when I was looking up demos of it, I was like, I could make art with this thing. I know I could use this for evil, my own evil purposes. Anyway, all that just to say, it's like, yeah, I'm interested in. No, it's not a didgeridoo.
It's definitely a didgeridoo. It's a didgeridoo. We get it, dude. Real cool. Didgeridoo, dude, channel.
I'm gonna
see it coming.
I'm gonna send you a video of what I invested in once we hang up, and you're gonna be like, oh snap.
Oh man. I'm
but
excited.
Anyway, all that to say is just like, I saw the artistic potential in the tool, you know? And I think that's all people need to know about. That's kind of it. But
yeah. Well, especially now that like the camera boom is just over. Like, we all have what we need. Even if you buy a 7-year-old camera, it's got what you need. Like, that boom is over. It's boring. It's old news. So like, it's just the only way forward is to be associated as the cool brand that cool people use to make stuff with, not just like the freaking, I don't know, most powerful tool. It's got to have some I don't know, enviable associations.
Oh, that gives me a fun, we could talk about this. What do you think is what's the tier list coolest brands in filmmaking right now?
Oh my gosh.
None of them are really trying to be cool, but it wouldn't take a lot.
Yeah.
Like, what team? What's your fantasy? What's your fantasy team? Like, what brand would you want to be on? Like, on, and who would you want as your associates on the team? I have kind of a crazy one, actually.
This is tough. Are we talking like all filmmaking brands or like cameras in particular?
I'm saying, I think it's more fun if we just do all filmmaking brands, because cameras kind of narrow. Yeah, but I have some hot. I have some hot takes about this.
Man, this is gonna sound horrible because I have some takes, but I have to be careful what I say just because of upcoming.
Oh yeah.
Sponsorships. But, well, no, okay. I still feel like Blackmagic is really cool.
Mm.
I love Blackmagic, and that being said, I got some serious problems with their with their tools.
Yeah,
but
it's crazy to me that Blackmagic is both like, I don't know, like as far as ergonomics, I don't think it's all that crazy to say the Pocket 6K could be improved upon. But it's crazy to me that Pocket 6K is the same brand as DaVinci Resolve, because DaVinci Resolve is peak cool. That's like as cool as it gets.
Yeah.
Pocket 6K has some growing room. But
yeah. Well, and I think that as dumb as it sounds, like that's part of the cool factor for me is like how kind of jank and annoying that camera is.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the real reason is because my Sony FX3 is just such a like easy workhorse tool that it's like, it's kind of the boring tool in my arsenal just because it's perfect, you know? So whenever I use the Black Magic, it feels a little dangerous. It feels a little risky. It's a little more adventurous.
I was talking to someone about the FX3 the other day, and I was like, it really is perfect. It's like, and the big problem for a long time was like the ergonomics in the menu system, and every update it just gets better and better and better, and now it's literally just like, it's hard to really be all that excited about it because it's such a perfect camera, which is definitely stupid monkey brain thinking, but I totally understand what you're saying.
And to get technical, the internal NDs is so nice on the 6K Pro. Like that makes you, when you have it, you're like, oh, this is actually so important. And it's so silly that no other cameras have this. I guess all that to say, I'm picking Blackmagic because DaVinci being part of that is a huge up to Blackmagic being this cool camera. And man, just the fact that Blackmagic is trying to do something different with their cameras is cool. But anyway, who's your pick? What's your hot take?
One more side note on Blackmagic. They could do like a slight rebrand too and become the coolest camera company ever. Like the name Blackmagic is just dying for a rebrand. But anyway.
Yeah.
So two hot takes. Number one, I kind of lately have had a little bit of stock in Moment. I don't think Moment kind of gets enough street cred for what they're doing. Okay, I'm currently not the biggest fan of like the like phone lens thing, which I know is like kind of a lot of what they do is like the phone lenses. That's not really my thing, but they're doing some cool stuff where like whoever they're doing their like partnerships with or their sponsored stuff with, they're essentially working with them to make products. Like I was looking into it, like there's this like, I don't know, wildlife photographer guy, and they like made a backpack with, it was like basically the same thing we were talking about. Like they made a backpack and used his name on it because he like is associative with that type of, you know, filmmaking or whatever. And they've made like a bunch of different stuff like that where they work with a specific artist and make something that's like parallel to their style of creation. And that to me is like really sick, like really sick. And so I think Moment's cool.
Yeah, such a smart way. Man, that has been such a cool company to watch just from the sidelines in the background. I'm very, you know, certainly not super familiar or anything, but yeah, they obviously started as this phone lens mobile first company, and they have really done a great job shifting because that whole that product was, and it was inevitably going to become irrelevant as like phone cameras and lenses keep getting better and better. So they've done such a good job shifting into this stuff. And
well, they're also kind of like B&H, but with soul, kind of is sort of the exactly. thing, you know?
Yeah, totally. I just saw I don't know if it was with someone or not, but they recently announced some like just cool looking, like film camera bags, I guess. It's like a company that makes film cameras, but then they also have bags associated with it. But the point you brought up about making products with someone, like putting someone's name on it, I feel like that's such a relevant topic right now, because I don't know if you saw the buzz about Marques Brownlee making products with Ridge Wallet.
Did
you hear
that.
Any of that conversation?
No.
Basically, everyone's talking about how smart Marques is, because he is essentially making a wallet line or a product line with Ridge Wallets. But the reason it's so smart is like you're working with a company that already has manufacturing facilities and distribution and all of that figured out. So you, as the artist, whatever you want to call it, is like making a product, but you don't have to start a whole new company like Feastables. Or, you know, similar to Peter McKinnon doing the Polar Pro stuff. I think that's such a smart and such a less stressful way to launch a product as an artist.
Right.
But
that's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's just like and again, it just is like skateboarding has been doing this forever. Skateboarding has been so far ahead of that like format, and yet it just makes so much sense because
it's crazy how many parallels there are to skateboarding with all of this.
And I like so many of these creative people, and I want to see them be enabled to make to explore their creative vision without having some sales agenda. And it seems really cool that there's a possibility where the future is, I don't know, just enabling creative work without the stupid advertisement attached to it, which kind
of... Well, and as YouTube keeps showing more and more TV viewership, we need more like entertaining content, if you get what I'm saying. Like, if YouTube is continuing to be more like a streaming service and less like this, I don't know, random conglomeration of educational videos, like as it becomes more of a streaming service presence, it's going to need more short films and full movies and just like enjoyable pieces of art that you would watch on a TV rather than watch on your phone to learn about a camera. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
And so I think this conversation like points it in that direction of, if more people can get sponsorships to just make something cool, that's going to continue to make YouTube this more premier streaming service type of platform.
Yeah. Well, but I also feel like that's why few people would disagree that like MusicBed is definitely in the cool category. Because I always see them as like, oh, that's like a brand that, and again, it ties exactly back to what I was saying earlier. Like they one-to-one help people that I really look up to make creative work. And that's cool, you know? And if that was the same for any brand, if that was the same for Moment or, you know, any other camera brand, it's like, if you're seen as the brand that enables creative work, like that's cool. That's way cooler than ad reads. But so that goes into another one of the brands that this is like the most controversial thing I could like ever say for those who are in the know, I guess, but I kind of think Nikon is cool.
Of course.
Dude, here's all these whiny spec sheet YouTubers talking about the color science, all the blah blah blah. Nikon cameras always have had great color science, always have had great dynamic range. Now they're shooting internal RAW as mirrorless full frame cameras. They're like sick. They're amazing cameras. And no one whines about them because they kind of just make a consistently great product.
Didn't they make a good like box cinema camera for a while? For some reason, I have it in my head that they made a box cinema camera.
They might have. I'm not familiar with it, but dude, I let me just put this out there. You know, maybe I'll be the crazy guy on the side of the road with the sign that says Nikon is cool and everyone drives by. But I feel like they really honestly are just like, they're unwavering. They're like the ship in the storm that just, no matter what anyone says or does, they're just going to make great stuff. And just, and they also aren't annoying. Like they're not annoyingly like blasting their cameras out to everyone. They just make great stuff and shut up. It's cool.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm switching to Nikon.
I am not switching to Blackmagic because I would go crazy if I had to use that as my only camera, but I'm still team Blackmagic.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, if I got the email and they said, we will, if they did everything I'm saying, they're like, we're going to enable your creative projects, you're on team Nikon, I would just be like, okay, I'm in. Count me in. You make great stuff.
That would be cool. That would be really cool. I also, man, I'm so hesitant to say this because so much of it has been skewed by the obvious latest events, but I still think Fuji has a lot of hope.
Oh, for sure.
As well.
I think so, like, too. Yeah.
It's cool that they also have been just doing their own thing for a very long time as well. And it's just cool to see a camera company really care about the ergonomics and aesthetics of the camera. Like a company that cares about making the camera beautiful just as much as making a good camera. And even if we just completely ignore the X100 line, some of their other cameras are just stunning. Like the X, God, it was like the XE3 Pro or something like that. One of theirs, it's discontinued now, but it's one of the coolest looking digital cameras I've ever seen.
My favorite thing about them is they're just like, oh yeah, we just don't do full frame. We just do APS-C. And everyone's like, but we need it to be full frame. And then they're like, no, we make a great sensor. And yeah, so many times you'll see a photo or a video, you'd be like, that is stunning. Where is that on? It's like, it's on an APS-C Fujifilm sensor. And it looks every bit as good as any full frame Sony, whatever. I like that they're just like, no, we make a great, that's what I like, again, going back to like what's cool, which parallels my thing with Nikon, is like everyone's like, we want you to do this, and they're like, no, the thing we make is great, and if you can't make something great with it, that's your problem, not ours.
Yeah, for sure.
We need a more heavy metal, we need a more heavy metal brand in here somewhere, though. They're all pretty vanilla, though, too, you know. That's what I'm saying. Blackmagic could use a rebrand.
It has to be so hard to make optics and sensors and electronics and software and not be vanilla, you know. Like, it's really easy to be a skateboard company that
I know. I'm just saying I want it. I know it doesn't make sense. I know it doesn't make sense. I'm just saying I want it. But I don't know. Moment could rebrand to a Thrasher font.
Yeah. I believe there's still hope. It could happen. Yeah.
Again, another point for Nikon is they have such a cool, like, just like Japanese electronics vibe too, which I just am so into.
Yeah. Well, the only topic I had left that I'll be brief on, but I saw a movie trailer for a movie that I have not been this excited about a movie in a long, long time. and I go see a lot of them. But dude, I just watched the trailer for I Saw the TV Glow, and like I cannot tell, I was like giddy like a child after watching this TV trailer or movie trailer. I think big reason being the song in this trailer, it just punches at teenage heart of Jake, but it's like a modern cover of Anthem for a 17-year-old girl by Broken Social Scene. And all of that to say, it's going to be the best movie ever. Okay. I'm so excited about it.
We've done this on this podcast before.
We have. And after I saw this trailer, it like just felt so excited and so happy. I had that thought of like, this is going to be the best movie ever. I'm so excited. And then immediately after having that thought, the next thought I had was, whoa, there are a lot of things I know of where the trailer is one of my favorite pieces, or one of my favorite like works of art ever. And then the actual thing that it's a trailer for is like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. At Beau you know? Is Afraid. All you have to do Beau's is Afraid. Just don't make the movie 3 hours. It's like, if you could just figure that out, like you're already off to the races, dude. If you could just...
Yeah, well, even View from a Blue Moon, the John Florence surf film,
yeah,
that trailer is, god, it's so powerful and so good. And then the film is like, it's fine. It's, I like also decent, would argue it's, yeah, it's really difficult to make a long surf film unless it's, yeah, heavily story based, so that's a pretty tough challenge to fill. But yeah, that was,
dude, the that's why again, Unreal the bike movie just blew it out of the water, because it was epic trailer, yeah, and the movie is like engaging the whole way through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll see. I'll watch the trailer after this, but if they can just make it 3 hours.
I was about to Google how long it is, but I can't do that. I saw the TV Glow. I was going to Google how long it is, but...
Can't do it.
I can't do that, but based off of the content, I don't think it's going to be long. And it also is... To me, it looks like Saltburn in terms of cinematography, and gonna have that like powerful montage music type of vibe, but I think it's gonna have, mm-hmm, a story that's far more dark, I suppose. Saltburn was still really dark too, but I suspect it's gonna be more like, it's gonna be more of a mind trip, mm, than Saltburn was. Saltburn was kind of a classic like twist ending, like, oh, this was happening the whole time type of ending, mm, whereas I'm hopeful that I Saw the TV Glow is going to be a pretty mind heavy demented kind of vibe movie. But
no, I'm excited all that to watch say, this trailer. Yeah, it sounds cool.
Yeah, it's going to be very A24, but I'm excited. Oh, also, random aside, have you noticed the army of YouTube commenters that insist on correcting people that A24 isn't a style or whatever?
Bro, dude, you're preaching to the choir here. Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I put that title in my bit, and like, if I had known that that was gonna be a thing, like, my god, it's so, there's, dude, a, okay, also, it's, there's just, an it's organized dumb on army. So many. It's dumb on so many levels, because,
uh-huh,
because on one hand, like, I'm sure the guy writing the comment is just like, technically, I know how the structure of the industry is organized, and then, uh-huh, so like, it's dumb in that sense, because it just is a dumb vision in my head. Someone typing that out, feeling like they're a big giant genius, but then, yeah, the other thing that's dumb is there is a style, like. yes, you're a production studio, but when you purposely are buying or funding or whatever all of these movies that have a very specific aesthetic, it doesn't even matter that it's a production studio, because like the fact that the A24 look, the fact that that word even means something somewhere in your brain means there is one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, to me, it just screams like there was either a popular Reddit post or a popular YouTube video that tried to like make this point.
Which there was. There was a video.
Oh, okay.
Which might have been inspired by the comments or vice versa. But yeah, of course, it's the whole like, technically, it's a studio and they don't have a look.
Yeah, totally.
It's so dumb.
It inspires this type of commenter that wants to have this gotcha comment. And that one in particular, the A24 doesn't make movies, they just are a production studio. I see that comment 10 times on any video that has A24 in the title. Yeah. So.
If I had known, I would never have gone down that road, but it's so, God, dude, it's so dumb.
God, I'll bet. Yeah.
That definitely, so, like, yeah. It definitely has bled over from Reddit and 4chan vibes, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like I have this piece of info that makes me very intelligent now.
Yeah,
but anyway, all that to say, I brought up that aside to say I saw the TV Glow is also the most A24 looking A24 movie that I've ever seen a trailer for, and man, am I all for it. I love that look and that aesthetic so much, so I'm stoked for it.
Sick. Well, can't wait to review it after not watching it. But yeah, I got a new personal rule, and that is over a minute 40, I'm not watching it, period. No matter how good it is, no matter what anyone says, I'm not watching a movie that's over an hour 40.
It's not worth it. At first you said a minute 40.
And oh, thought, a minute 40.
I thought you meant that if a too. Trailer is over a minute 40.
Yeah,
gotcha. Over hour 40. I think that's reasonable.
I just can't. I can't imagine something being worth an hour and 40 minutes of my time, no matter how mind-blowing it is. And the movie that solidified that for me was the Killers of the Flower Moon movie. I was just like, this is fantastic. It's got all the best actors, best director, story's amazing, production's incredible, not worth the time.
Yeah, fair enough. I think that's a fair rule.
Yeah.
So now I'm really hoping this movie isn't longer than an hour 40.
Better not be, because no compromises.
So I can convince you to come down and shred my new completed finger skate park and watch a movie.
Oh my gosh, I wish there was some way people could see a photo of that finger skate park, because it's a work of art. It's so cool.
Dude, I'm stoked about it. It's so fun, and it's also so challenging to skate because it's 3.5 inches wide.
Yeah, so if you miss fall, a trick,
yeah,
board's gone.
You're dropping your board off a cliff every time. So now that we're in...
That got some. Now that has a level of danger, though.
Exactly. Just makes it that much more satisfying when you stomp something.
Yeah, yeah. Sick.
So now that we're in fingerboard corner, you got any apologies?
Sorry, I made a second channel. Probably shouldn't have done that. That's all.
Yeah. I don't think I'm sorry for anything. I think this was very sensible. I think I had a great time.
Nice, me
too. Talking
nice.
To you.
Same.
Yeah. I'm not sorry for anything. I'm feeling good, man.
All right, we're getting better.
Yeah. We must be. Hey, if you're out there and you feel like leaving a review, leaving some stars, leaving a comment, hit and subscribe so I can watch Avatar with Schaefer. Do that. Do one of those things. That would be
comments
sick.
Are my favorite. We don't really reply. But
yeah,
well, I usually read them like once a week, really. So I'll see it, you know?
Yeah. It's nice to know you're just not talking into the void sometimes.
Yeah.
But even if we were, I'd still like talking to you every week.
Right when you said you're not talking into the void, the phone call cut out and you just started going, and then you disappeared into silence.
Wow, I got... Perfect.
Oh, can I give a super quick, super quick pick of the week?
Oh, yeah.
Really quick.
There's my apology. I'm sorry I didn't ask for pick of the week.
That's okay. Hey, that's okay.
What's your pick of the week?
It's not a video, but it is so rare for an entire album, like a musical album, to just grip my heart and take me for a ride. But dude, the new MGMT album is an absolute solid gold work of genius. It is
sick.
It's stunning. And I've never really been too much of an MGMT fan. I watched a like mini documentary sort of about their trajectory and how they've completely abandoned the limelight and all fame, and they've completely given themselves to their own creative desires, and they make music that they like and not what anyone else likes, which is very cool. But this album is, my God, it is so beautiful. It's called Loss of Life, and the first song and the last song both made me cry. So
dang
good. Yeah.
Oh, sick. Wow.
So good. Nice. I bought a $70 vinyl of it because it was just, it's perfect. It's up there.
That's awesome.
It's up there with one of my favorites. So highly recommended.
Didn't they like start as a joke or something like that?
Yeah.
Weren't you telling me?
Yeah.
They started to make sarcastic hyper pop or something like that. And then, that's so interesting. That's sick that they've landed on just loving.
Yeah. And they're
making music that they love.
It's fun to watch interviews with them because they remind me of you and me in the sense that they're both really introspective. And at one point they were doing their concerts from the inside of a pitched tent on stage just to like manage the stage fright.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow, I love that.
They're awesome. But yeah, this new album is, and it's just, it's so beautiful. It's like my favorite thing right now.
Sick.
So
nice. Wow. I'll have to give it a listen.
Yeah, you'd like it. You'd vibe with it for sure.
Sick. Dang. I'm going to listen to that today.
Yay.
Also, shout out Braxton. Thanks for attempting to get us some... Braxton, just still most valuable member of our team. He emailed the sound guy on that McGee video that was Schaefer's pick of the week in a previous one, and Braxton's trying to figure out how they recorded audio on that. So man, shout out Braxton,
our soldier in the trenches.
Intel. yeah
that was awesome. Absolute legend.
Yeah, so hey, that's all I've got. Go listen to MGMT. Tell us if there's any cool black metal camera companies out there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
If you don't like this music, you don't be listening to it. You know, I'm just a dude that you know, or something similar. If you don't keep it real, then you go somewhere but here. Cause you know, we're only losing control just for a minute. Oh.